Pray with me. Lord, we're thankful for the gospel. It allows us to experience a fresh start, a new beginning, a turning point, a U-turn in our life after a series of failure after failure after failure. You specialize in giving people a new chapter, a new chance to write new stories in the book of our lives. We're grateful for Jesus who led the way, who nevertheless was rejected by his own people, abused and mistreated and falsely accused, and yet he stayed the course and was murdered and put to death on behalf of our sins. He arose and became the baptizer, the one to baptize people with the Spirit. He still does that to begin a new journey of faith, a new journey in the same life with the same challenges, but now invigorated and energized by the Spirit, we now have hope. Hope for victory, for success, and even for forgiveness in spite of our own continued failures. We're grateful for the candidates today. And we pray that this too would be a turning point in their life, from a life of defeat and failure to a life of hope, the enjoyment of your presence in their lives, a life of challenges, but challenges now with God inside of them. Let this be truly, Lord, a fresh start for each one. And perhaps there's people here who have yet to turn their face towards Christ and say, save me, like Peter did. Save me and wash away my sins. Perhaps they're here today. Perhaps they've never made that decision. Spirit of God, you are the one who makes decisions and gives us the power to do so. Do that this morning, here and around the world, through the work of evangelists and missionaries in every country, where the name of Christ can be heard. We pray in Christ's name. And everyone said right on. When I was in college, I worked at a service station, and one of my responsibilities was to drive a tow truck. How many know what a tow truck is? It's got nothing to do with your toes. It's a truck that's specially designed to pull cars out of ditches and valleys and out of mud and snow and so forth. I've been to many wrecks or accidents and picked up this little nasty car and brought it to the body shop. I've pulled people out of ditches and snowbanks. I've pulled many, many, many people out. And on many occasions, people would end up in the ditch because they didn't have snow tires on the back of their car. How many know what a snow tire is? It's not a tire made of snow, trust me. It's a tire with really good grip on the tires. And they put those tires on the back so that if you get in snow and you put your foot on the gas, the tires grip the snow or the ice and you get out of the ditch or you get out of the snow drift. Many times I would say to people, you know, you don't have to end up in the ditch. All you got to do is buy some snow tires. And we sell them. So when I bring you back to the station or take you somewhere, buy some snow tires. There was one family that I pulled out of the same ditch four times in a row. And after a while, I just gave up, thinking, you know, they think that next time I won't get stuck. You ever met people like that? You warn them, and you give them another pleasant warning or a suggestion, and they just never take it, and they end up going in the ditch and paying me or our station what it took to pull them out of the ditch. In other words, they failed and failed and failed. And when suggestions were made to not fail, they didn't take it. Are you living a life of constant failure? Constant failure? Are you getting stuck in the ditch of sin? I'm going to say some snow tires this morning. The history of the Old Testament is a history of failure. The history of the Old Testament is a history of failure. They had God, they had a Bible, but they lacked one thing. Of course, I'm not going to sell anybody anything because I've got nothing to sell. But this morning, as we talk about baptism, you'll see why Old Testament figures fail and why a lot of perhaps you fail. But I want to offer hope. It has to do with baptism. Johnny read from John 3. I'm going to reread it. But read it all the way to verse 10. The previous verse in John 2 tells us that Jesus knew what was inside of a man. Actually, the word is not man, but it's human. Jesus knows what's inside humans. And the next chapter is an illustration of Jesus who knows Nicodemus. Because Nicodemus comes with a mask on, and Jesus knows what's going on behind that mask. Just like he knows what's going on behind your mask this morning. There was a man from the Pharisees that tells us that he's a big shot, and he's a religious guy. He reads his Bible. He's a member of the ruling political party of his day. His name is Nicodemus, by the way, which is funny. It's the word from which you get Nike. Nike means to have victory, to succeed. And yet Nicodemus is a complete failure. And he was a ruler of the Jews. And this one came to Jesus by night. Anytime you see night in the Gospel of John, it's a problem. It usually represents unbelief and darkness and the domain of Satan. He's embarrassed. He won't come in the daytime. Why? Because his friends will see him. What are you doing with Jesus, man? And he said to him, Rabbi. That's the Aramaic word for teacher. They spoke Aramaic in the day. And he says, we know that you come from God, our teacher come from God, because no one is able to do the things that you do, the signs that you do, unless God were with him. That's the opening statement that Nicodemus makes. But that's not his question. And Jesus knows that this has nothing to do with what's really in his heart. Because Jesus knows what's in a man. Notice how Jesus doesn't answer him. Jesus completely, completely ignores, yeah, I'm a man from God. He didn't say that. What does he do? He completely changes the subject. Because this is what he needs to suggest to Nicodemus. Nicodemus has another question out of his mind. What is it? What's Nicodemus' real question? How do I get to heaven? How do I get into the kingdom of God? And so Jesus just goes right for his throat, and he says, Jesus answered and said, Amen, Amen. That's the word. It means what? It means right on. When you hear somebody in the crowd say, Amen, what are they saying? I believe it. I agree. So it's a way to get our attention. So he says, for sure, for sure. Right on, right on. I say to you that unless a man is born, or unless a person, a human being, is born from above, your Bible may say again, the two words are interchangeable, unless you're born from above, you will not see God's kingdom. And Nicodemus said to him, how is a human able to be born when he's old? He is not able to go back inside his mother's womb and be born a second time, will he? And Nicodemus is saying, that can't happen. I mean, that's impossible. And he's right, because he hasn't a clue what's going on. And Jesus answered, same thing again, Amen, Amen. For sure, I say to you, you, Nicodemus, that unless a person is born from water and the Spirit, he will not enter into the kingdom of God. So there's two births. There's a water birth, and there's a Spirit birth. Everyone has a water birth. Why? When you were conceived where? In water. You were conceived in a sack of water in complete darkness. Everyone here has a birth. But that won't get you into the kingdom of heaven. You need another birth. You need another immersion. And it's the immersion, what? Of the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh, that's another word for water, is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You should not be surprised or shocked that I say to you that you must be born from above. That is from where the Spirit comes from. The Spirit blows where it desires. And you hear it sound, but you do not know where it comes from. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus, I'll finish with these couple of verses. Nicodemus answered, and he said, how are these things come to be? I don't get it. And Jesus said, to him. You are the teacher of Israel. It's the teacher of Israel, and you don't know these things? See Jesus scolding this man? He's the top dog in the nation for his Bible, and he's clueless. Now, why should Nicodemus have known? Why should Nicodemus have known that your first birth and the birth of water is always failure? Because his Bible is the record of water baptism by the nation of Israel, leading to failure every single time. The Old Testament is a history of failure. Let me review. Genesis 1, the earth is covered by water in darkness, just like a birth. The water is broken by God. Dry land appears, just like a head appears when a baby is born. God took Adam and placed him on a mountain. Mount Eden, in God's presence, with that water barrier broken, divided, and what happens to Adam? He fails. He fails to trust the Word of God, and what happens to him? He's ejected. A little later on in the story, we have another Adam. His name is Noah. He too travels through this water barrier and is also placed on a mountain. And what happens to Noah? He ends up naked and drunk in the same way that Adam was naked and took of the vine. So there's going through a water barrier for Adam and he fails. Noah goes through this water barrier, ends up on a mountain, and he fails. They've both been immersed in water. They've both been baptized in water, and they fail. Third story. Israel is released from Egypt through the Exodus. God leads them through a water barrier, and what happens? They end up at Mount Sinai, another mountain. They've gone through that water barrier successfully, and then what happens? They fail to trust God, and they die in the wilderness. Right? So we have three failures in a row. Adam, Noah, the whole nation of Israel, they all go through water, they all end up on a mountain for fellowship with God, and they always fail. Fourth, that generation of Israel that grew up in the wilderness, after their parents all died and were buried in the wilderness, they ended up heading towards the promised land, and what happened? They face another water barrier. What is it? The Jordan River. God breaks the water. They walk through on dry land. They go up into the Canaan's land, into the promised land, and what happens? They're deceived by the Gibeonites, just like Adam was deceived and Eve deceived by Satan. And they fail. They fail to conquer their enemies, and eventually, what does God do to them? He kicks them out of the land, back to Babylon. So the Old Testament is a record of what? Failure. It's a record of failure. They had water baptism. They were born of water. They all went into the presence of God, and they failed. So what do we need? If you don't buy snow tires, and you keep going into the ditch, and some guy keeps telling you, hey, why don't you buy some snow tires? What's the best idea? Would you want to buy some snow tires? What if I give them to you on sale? Right? The history of Israel is, we go through these water barriers, we get baptized, and we end up failing. Eventually, they ought to scratch their heads and say, we need something else. Jesus comes along. What does he do? He comes to the same Jordan River. He goes through that water barrier, right? Into the promised land, and what happens? The sky opens up, and what descends on him? The Spirit of God. He's baptized with the Spirit. Right? You see the difference? We have two baptisms. One is water. That's our first birth. We're born out of our mother's watery womb. We grow up. We need another baptism. What kind of baptism do we need? The only one that Jesus can give, right? At the end of the Gospel of John, Jesus is in the upper room after being raised from the dead. And what does he do? He does exactly what God did for Adam in the garden. What did he do? He said, what? He breathed on them and said what? Receive the Holy Spirit. Acts 2, the next book. Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost. He shows them that they killed Jesus Christ, but he couldn't stay in the grave. God raised him from the dead. And they said, what shall we do? They knew they were guilty. And what did he say? Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you will receive what? The gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came upon them. Everyone here has a birthday. But if you haven't experienced what only Jesus can give you, you will keep getting in the ditch on your tires. You need snow tires. You need the gift of the Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Spirit of God. Which means what? Who can give it? Only Jesus Christ. He's the baptizer in the Spirit of God. And that baptism of the Spirit is always associated with new life in Christ. Our beginning stage with Jesus. So when we go to Him and trust Him and begin following Him as our Savior and our Lord, Jesus gives us His Spirit. And now, occasionally we might get in the ditch because we fail. But we've got snow tires on. See, now we have the Spirit of God that can help us to get out of those ditches and have hope. All of us have a birth, but we need a second birth. That's why Jesus said, you need to be baptized in water, that's your first birth, and what? Born of the Spirit. All of those baptisms are like a birth, a brand new beginning for Adam, Noah, and Israel, and Israel. It's a new birth. It's a new beginning. If you haven't realized your predicament, why not this morning go, you know what? I've been in the ditch all my life. I just can't keep staying out of that ditch. Maybe you ought to try something. And that something is Jesus. Right? He's the one I would recommend you go to this morning and say, Jesus, I've been in the ditch all my life. I want hope. I trust you today as my Savior and my Lord, you who paid for my sins. I trust in you now, and God gives you the gift of the Spirit of God. You don't earn it. You don't earn gifts, do you? You just had Christmas. Those gifts were given to you. No strings, no ropes, no hooks. God will do that for you. You want to succeed? And one day end up in God's presence and enjoy abundant life? Trust Christ this morning. We have some people from Grace as well as from the Brit Academy this morning who will be baptized this morning. And God promises that each of those who have trusted Christ, at some point in time, God begins to invade your life by His Spirit and give you new life in Christ as well as the power to say no to the ditches. Thanks for listening this morning. Pray with me. Thank you, Lord, for the experiences of the ditches. We've been in many ditches. There are people here who have been in too many ditches. Give them a yearning and a longing for a new start, a fresh start. And let them see that it's possible through Jesus Christ, who did not fail but succeeded. And now He's in a position to call us to follow Him. There's some here who haven't done that. Today, let them say, Jesus, save me. Jesus, I trust you. Jesus, I trust you as my Savior. You who paid for my sins on the cross. And then bless those who've come to be baptized. Let this be truly a turning point in their life. We pray for your name's sake.